Folks, if you need to hear something to get you happy, you came to the right place this morning. We have a glorious message before us this morning, and if you need something to give you joy and to give you happiness, you came to the right place, because Jesus has provided us with a wonderful hope and a joy, and it's presented for us today in explicit terms in a way that should just answer our questions about our future and make us just so glad that we are believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a wonderful hope. Today, let's set aside all the things that are weighing us down. I know there's things in all of our lives that can weigh us down. I'm sure you can think of many things right now, but don't think of those things, okay? Put those aside for a moment. Let the joy of this message sink into your heart and mind, and let it flood out all of the problems that you may be facing. Because I want you to know something. This message, this hope that we're about to talk about, should flood out all of those problems. It's so wonderful, it's so magnificent, that it should supersede and obliterate anything that is hindering you from experiencing joy in your life. Because ultimately, this is going to be the resolution to all of your problems. The ultimate solution to every anxiety you face. That's what we have here this morning. I want you to understand that we learned from the first 34 verses of this chapter that the resurrection of the believer in Jesus is an absolute fact that is inseparable from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that Jesus rose from the dead, then you should believe that you will rise from the dead. That is what Paul's whole argument has been in chapter 15. So the Christian should have no doubt in his mind that he will be resurrected someday. Now, the next question that may come to our minds, and came to the minds of those believers in Corinth, was how in the world will our bodies, these old, dilapidated, bad bodies that are falling apart, that are getting older every day, how are these bodies going to be resurrected? How are they going to be changed? How are they going to be something that lasts for all eternity? My body can't last for 90 years or whatever, or 100 years. How's it going to last for all eternity? Well, Paul's about to answer those questions. And in the process, he's showing us this glorious future that we have in the Lord. This is the kind of passage that doesn't require a lot on my part. I got to tell you that. This is an easy passage for me to preach. It preaches itself. It has its own illustrations and everything. It's just a wonderful hope. So we're going to go through this passage and just look at what the Word of God has to say. First of all, look at verse 35. It says, "But someone will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain." The first thing that Paul does to answer this question about how can our bodies, our corruptible bodies, our mortal bodies, change into something incorruptible, immortal, and spiritual? So the first thing Paul points out to folks is that God does this all the time, right here on earth. A seed is dead. A seed is dead. But you put it in the ground or the grave, and somehow it becomes alive and changes into something that it wasn't. Changes into something that it wasn't. It's a miraculous transformation from something that is dead to something that is alive. So that analogy right there shows us that it's not uncommon for God to operate in nature and in this world in a way where he takes something that's dead and makes it alive. And makes it something totally different than it is. It's just a seed. He says, you know, you may harvest a grain of wheat. But then what do? That wheat, it's dead. And then you put it in the ground and it becomes this plant. Something that it isn't. And that kind of sets the stage for what Paul is going to describe about how our bodies will be changed. Because they will be different. Look at verse 38. It says, but God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies or heavenly bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial one is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. So there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differs from another star in glory. Now, first of all, the Apostle Paul wants you to understand that God in his created order has made different kinds of flesh. He's made different kinds of specimens, and he's made different kinds of stars and moon and sun. He's made all these different things, and he can make you something different as well. I think what the main message of these three particular verses is that you can trust God, his power. Ultimately, isn't that what this is all about? Can we really trust in the power of God, that he can actually take my old ashes in the ground, or even molecules in that I've left behind, and then give me a new body? Can he actually do that? That's what we ultimately are asking. Do we trust that God, no matter what happens to our physical body, do we trust that God can give us a new body, a new heavenly body? Well, yes, that's what we can gather from this. He created the sun, moon, and stars. Just think how magnificent this universe is, how enormous it is. He created all different kinds of creatures. Certainly, he can take us and create something different about us. Of course he can. The same God who created this universe can and does have the power to give us an immortal, incorruptible body. And so in verse 42, we see, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. You know, where our bodies, this body we have right now, is kind of like that seed. Some of us, if we die before Jesus comes back, we're going to be just like that seed. We're going to be dead, and we are going to have our souls in heaven with Jesus, but our physical body is going to be dead. Well, it says here that we need to be sown, or we need to go through this process of having a mortal body before we can have that immortal body. And so the same process that a seed goes through, we're going through right now. We're going through that. But someday, we're going to have a different kind of body. Someday, we are going to have a totally different kind of body. And that body is going to be not just a natural body, it will be a spiritual body. Look what it says in verse 44. It is sown a natural body. That's what you have right now. You have a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Someday, you are going to have a spiritual body. Now, Paul's going to describe this body a little bit better later on. But let me just put it this way. You know how after the resurrection, Jesus had a body where he could walk through walls? Where he could show up on one road and then show up on the lakeside at another time? How was he able to do that? Because he had a glorified spiritual body. That's what we're going to have. We're going to have a spiritual body. A body that can be on earth and be in heaven. It can be at one place and then go to another place. Now, how all that works, I don't know. But I do know our bodies are going to be more than just what we have right now. It's going to be a spiritual body. And that spiritual body also means that it will be a body that is heavenly. Look at verse 49. It says, "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, so we also shall bear the image of the heavenly man." Now, here's what I want us to backtrack a little bit, because this is very important. Another analogy is given here for us in verse 45. It says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward the spiritual. The first man was the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And as the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of man of dust, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly man." How are we going to be spiritual and heavenly? Because we're going to take on the body of the second Adam. The body of the second Adam. Right now, you have the body of the first Adam. In the beginning, God created Adam and Eve, right? And all of us are descendants of Adam and Eve. God created Adam from the dust of the earth. From earthly beginnings. And we are all from that first Adam. But Jesus, the second Adam, who has a heavenly body, a spiritual body, a resurrected body, a glorified body, is who we will be like and who we will inherit our next body from. Wow. That's awesome. That's how we're going to get it. We're going to get it from the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Our bodies are going to be like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one he showed up in to the disciples, the one he appeared to over 500 people at one time to, the one who appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. That body that Jesus has right now is the body that we will inherit. Wow. That we would be able to have that kind of inheritance. You know, many times the Apostle Paul refers to the inheritance we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That kind of adds more significance to it when we think about we are going to be like Jesus in our glorified body, in our bodily form. Now, there's all kinds of implications to that. I mean, when my mind starts trying to think about that and think about how wonderful that's going to be, it truly is awesome to think that someday you'll be able to go up to Jesus and give him a hug and thank him so much for the body that he gave you. Wow. Wow. That just, it should ignite our souls to think about what we have in Jesus Christ. Now, the body of Jesus Christ right now, oh, it's totally incorruptible. It's completely without sin. It's eternal. It is totally perfect. That's what you're going to receive. Think about that for a minute. This passage tells us very clearly that our bodies are going to be exactly like that of our resurrected Lord. That's the kind of body you're going to have. You know, you may have gotten out of bed this morning like me, and your back hurt a little bit, your shoulder was hurting a little bit. You looked in the mirror and you saw big bags on your eyes. That's what I look at anyway. It's not going to be that way someday, folks. It's not going to be that way. I'm so thankful. This is our hope. This is our future in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will have a heavenly body. Look at verse 50. It says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption." We will have an incorruptible body. It will not be hindered by anything. And later on, we are going to find out why it is incorruptible. Look at verse 51. It says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Wow. That's what our future has for us. When Jesus Christ comes back again, when the Lord determines that it's time for this age to end, a trumpet is going to sound. This is the same trumpet that we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That trumpet that sounds and proclaims the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when that trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ are going to be raised. We're told in another passage, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then those who are alive in Christ will be caught up in the air together with them, and in the twinkling of an eye, we will all be given a glorified body. That's what we're told here. We are told that when that trumpet sounds, we better be ready, because we're going up. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. And He's going to give us this glorified body. And we will reign with Him for all eternity. Now, the details of how all that's going to work out, the timeline and everything like that, you know, we can all discuss that. We all love talking about the end times. And certainly a lot of books have been written and sold discussing that. But you know what I get out of this is the most important thing. The most important thing is this. I have a hope. I have a hope in Jesus Christ that is going to last for all eternity. It's going to last for all eternity, and it's because it comes from the perfect Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look why we won't have to worry about our bodies decaying ever again after this glorious event. It says, "For this corruptible," in verse 53, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You want to know why your glorified body will never be corrupted again? You want to know why you'll never have to worry about it breaking down? You want to know why it will last for all eternity? Because sin will be done away with. No more sin. No more death. You see, death came about by sin. And sin has its strength in the law. But you know what? All that's going to be done away with. You won't have to worry about the law because you won't ever break the law. Think about that. We won't need any more law in heaven. None of us will ever break any law ever again in heaven. That is awesome to think about. So that's what we're looking forward to. Why do we have to, why can we have confidence that our bodies will last forever? No more sin. No more law. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. That's what it says here. And that's the final thing that Paul says. And it's perfect that it ends with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where it begins. Why do we have this glorious future? Because one day Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. He was buried like a seed in the ground, and He rose again. And He came to life and put on that glorified body and showed that glorified body to many, many people. And all who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the payment of their sins and trust and follow Him as their Savior, someday they will have this glorified body. And they will live for all eternity. It's all about that wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. He created this universe. He made a masterful plan for you to be restored from your sin and your depravity. And He has a glorious future awaiting you that He fully has the power to give you and has shown that power to you. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Put your trust in Him. And this wonderful hope will be your joy. It will be your peace. You should be able to leave this place with a joy in your heart and a peace in your soul, regardless of what circumstances you are facing, because of this hope. Because it conquers all. It conquers all our problems.